At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I got a thing for some damn dogs barking. That's why on In the Jar,
we gonna make it a little bit different. Like the Falcons did going into Mercedes-Benz Stadium on a Thursday night and closing out the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Just like the Minnesota Vikings did getting yet another win across the pond against the New York Jets, causing the firing of Robert Saleh. Kind of like the Chicago Bears did against the Carolina Panthers 36-10. Or how the Baltimore Ravens going to Cincinnati and show them who's boss. Kind of like the Texans finishing out over the Buffalo Bills with some questionable decisions late. Kind of like the Jacksonville Jaguars, who claim their stadium as their house against the Indianapolis Colts. 8 straight wins at home against the Colts for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Miami beats the New England Patriots 15-10 to put their season hopefully back on track. The Denver Broncos show who they are with their rookie quarterback beating a confused Las Vegas Raiders team. Kind of like the Arizona Cardinals going into Santa Clara and beating the 49ers 24-23 to close it out. I like my quarterback closes out. Kind of like the Green Bay Packers going into SoFi Stadium and beating the hell out of the Rams. Or kind of like the New York Giants setting the Seattle Seahawks on a skid. They win 29-20. Or Dallas going into Sunday Night Football in Pittsburgh, rainy night. Game gets delayed. They sit in the locker room and beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Or kind of like Monday Night Football in Arrowhead. Chiefs beat the Saints 26-13. My damn sound pad didn't even work, but we made it happen, baby. We made it happen. We're going to do In the Jar a little bit different. So we're going to go as normal programming calls for. I got the dogs running around here, barking at everything that walks by the damn window. So if you hear them, just, excuse my dogs. I just got a thing for some damn dogs barking. You know what I mean? But yeah, man, we're going to kind of look at the macro 10,000 foot, kind of show as normal to start this damn thing. And then we're going to really dive into one game each week from here on out. So this week we're going to break down the Commanders who go to M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. The Battle of the Beltway, I believe, is what they call it. Please forgive me if I botch it. Listen, man, I went to this spot in Phoenix for the first time today, Black Rock Coffee Bar. And I think it's owned by... It's not. I was going to make a deep state joke, but, we're coming up on sensitive time around that one.
What else, man? What else? Yeah, it's just the NFL. I'll tell you. So we go to Buffalo last week. Y'all saw my crash out episode, crash out show after the Bengals lost to the Commanders. And it's only gotten worse. If you watch that Ravens-Bengals game, I watched a lot of film from it just to get a feel for what the Ravens are going to do this week against the Commanders. And it's quite simple. The Bengals have the second worst defense in football right now behind the Carolina Panthers. The second worst. And their best corner, their corner that's playing best right now, Dax Hill, is out for the season with a torn ACL. Now, the thing with the Bengals is, and we're really going to dive deep into the Ravens later, but the thing with the Bengals is that they have a personnel problem on defense. What that means is that the front office has failed to supply Lou Anarumo, the defensive coordinator, with enough capable bodies on the defensive side of the ball. They've neglected to draft. They've drafted horribly. And the de facto GM in Cincinnati is not even the real GM. His name's Duke Tobin. So your corner that's playing the best ball exits with a torn ACL, okay? Geno Stone and Von Bell are getting the majority of the reps at safety, and they're horrible. And you got two other young safeties, Dijon Anthony out of Ole Miss and Jordan Battle, who have not gotten game reps. And it's like, what do you have to lose at this point? Go with the young guys. See if it gets any better. Cam Taylor-Britt has just, he tried to talk some shit early in the year, and he's just been terrible. He's been absolutely terrible. So the Bengals got a problem on the defense side of the ball. I don't see it getting much worse. In fact, I'm very optimistic that it could get better in Cincinnati. They could end up making the playoffs. They could end up having a winning record. This is all coming from the mouth of a biased fan. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, man, we've had a hell of a 2 weeks over on this side. What in the shit? I don't want that. I guess we're just playing stuff automatically now on the computer, huh? No, we've had a hell of a 2 weeks on this side. So go to Buffalo, New York, week before last. Monday Night Football, absolute thrashing against Jacksonville Jaguars in Buffalo. We spend a week, we go to a wedding, it's beautiful. We get back home, and Tuesday of the next week, my boy Jasper is acting lethargic, like something's wrong. We take him into the hospital, or we take him into the pet vet. I thought he had just eaten something, but they do an X-ray, much to the dismay of my wallet. And they come in with wide eyes. They say there's nothing in there. Okay. They got the best radiologist in the state on site, just happened to. They do an ultrasound. They come in with wider eyes. They say, bro, he's got to get that damn spleen removed. I said, what? They say, yeah, his spleen is folded over on itself, cutting off blood supply, causing internal bleeding. I was like, y'all better get his ass in surgery right now. And so they send him in. I go home. Home's only about 7 minutes from the vet. They call me right when I get home. And they say, he's lost too much blood. He's going to die if we do surgery on him. We got to do a blood transfusion, and we got to send him somewhere else in order to do that. And I was like, whatever the fuck. Much to the dismay of your boy's wallet, right? It's all good. I'd pay any price to save that dog. I told him, do whatever you got to do. Transfer him over. I went back to the vet. I took him to the animal hospital. And so I spent all of last week kind of in the hospital with him. But he's doing good. He's acting normal again, much to my dismay, because he's got a damn incision on his underside that he's got to take care of. But he's doing great. He's eating. You know, we got him on some pain meds, and he's rolling around right now. They're barking at every damn thing that walks by the window right now. It's like we either get lighting in the house, or and we get dogs barking every 3 seconds, or we leave the blinds closed and it's dark and depressing in here. I'd rather have sunlight in the damn house. But anyways, yeah, man, we're gonna hit a little board sesh on the Ravens Commanders game here in a little bit. Probably break down a pass protection scheme, a 7-man pass protection scheme that I was looking at that I really like. 360 protection, 60 protection, things like that. We're going to get more into the X's and O's from here on out, because I like watching film. So don't want to abandon the show completely, though. I've got some clips of the week that we're going to get into right now.
You should have got the bigger U-Haul, because we ain't gonna be able to do this shit in one trip.
Like, I'm back at Walmart throwing a fucking truck.
Now, why the fuck you ain't hired 2 men in one truck? So you gotta get the washer and dryer too?
Hell yeah.
Where the dolly at?
We ain't got one, bro.
Dolly,
me and you, bro.
Shut the fuck up.
Same pace, same pace.
Come on, let's go.
You always got that guy on the back end that's like pushing you too, because he wants to finish. Yeah, that's cad.
Left over the fucking flat line. Who in their right mind go build an architecture and say, let's put the living room on the second floor? You can get the side.
That boy looked like a fatter Drewski.
Watch my hand. Watch my hand. God damn it, Johnny. Watch my hand. Are we going upstairs?
Yeah. God damn. You stronger than me. Why would I go from
weight? The weight is shifted. You're going to fucking equilibrium up. One, two, three. I said three. Yo, Ian, hold on. I got more weight.
Sit down,
baby. You need my hand? Shit. Take the bitch.
You can just slide it from here. You don't even need me.
Come on, bro. It's a light shit. Come on, bro. Ain't shit light that came off this truck, man. This one on the second floor, too?
Third floor.
You gotta get me, buddy. Fuck.
I don't know if this was only a thing, like, in the South. I know this company I'm about to mention is a Chattanooga, Tennessee company, but when we were in high school, bro, we used to try to pick up some spare cash by getting jobs on this Bellhops app. It was like contract work, you feel me? So we weren't full-time employees. We were high school students, but you make an account on this app, and you can find jobs on the damn app in your area, moving jobs, and they pay you, you know, you get the job done, everything goes good, they pay you out. And so me and my boys used to do it together, me and my buddy John, and then I had a buddy Nestor that we would do moves with too. And there was a whole squad of us at our high school that would go and do bellhops moves. And so I feel like that's why I felt the clip I just showed so much is like, you know, we'd have a lazy friend that would get on one end of the couch moving it upstairs, and he'd be like pushing really hard to, like, because he wanted to be done, but you're on the back end, you're trying to contain that shit. You're like, damn, bro, damn, oh shit, my hand, fuck, damn, you know what I mean? I just, you know, moving sucks. I just did it again, and It's. I feel like with something like moving, the more you think about it, the worse it becomes. First time I watched that damn clip, I was sitting there thinking like, this man, it's obviously a skit, but like in real life, you know, people, they see what's in the truck and they're like, yeah, damn, son, fuck, I gotta be at the
I got to be at the damn thing at 4.
You know what I mean? But, I mean, shit, you know, it's, I'm talking about a whole lot of nothing right now. But the thing about moving is that once it's done, unless you're moving around every 2 weeks, it's done for a little bit. You know what I mean? And so it's like the more you sit there and worry about it, worry about how much work there is to be done, the harder the work becomes. That guy looked like a light-skinned, fatter Drewski. You know what I mean? All right, next deal. Yeah, that shit look good, boy.
And man, you know they tell you, the Lord.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
And pull and use the rib out of a man.
Oh, yeah.
But this here will cause a woman
to... Talk to him.
Come on now.
Oh, yeah.
Make a tender.
Oh, yeah. Oh, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tender. Yeah, can I get an amen?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to... I say, can I get an amen?
Talk to him. Yeah.
Come on. Tender. That's how we got tender now.
Come on.
Oh, oh yeah.
Rope to look at. Well, you got to...
Boy, look at him.
Yeah, he cooked.
Boy, you do that, boy. Look at you
now. Preach.
Coming on with it. Dude, I grew up going to the Episcopal Church in Paris, Kentucky, okay? Outside of Lexington. Little country, but not podunk, not completely. And sometimes our church would not have the service at our church, and we go down the road to the black church and integrate it. It was almost, dude, it was like, you know, early 2000s, central Kentucky. It's almost like damn segregation was still a thing, but it was like, oh, yeah, we're going to integrate with the black church today. It was just normal, you know what I'm saying? The Lord is my shepherd. You know what I'm saying? And the food afterwards, bro. The food at the black church. The music's fire. The food afterwards is even better. You know what I'm saying? And you get some of that barbecue on your plate. Some of that pulled pork sandwich. You take a bite out of that. You go, yeah! The Lord is my shepherd now. You know what I'm saying? But no, I think the best part about black churches is the music. You know, it's like, long, da, da, ba, mm, yeah. You know, that's not really how it sounds. That's just kind of something I did just then.
His name, Lord, his name.
Ooh, hallelujah. Yeah, kind of like that. Okay. I kind of hit it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like, dude, you bite into a damn rib, little riblet like that, little short rib like that. You'll be speaking in damn tongues, boy. The Lord is my shepherd now. It's all about the word of God. You know what I'm saying? Dude, I love it in rap music when they sample like black church choirs, you know what I mean? Ain't nothing like it. Because they're all singing together, and it's like it's the damn vibrations of the music is like lifting you up too. That's what it's supposed to do, you know? But it's like God's singing through them, boy. You know what I'm singing through the choir, boy. You know what I mean? But I always loved going to the black church when I was a kid. It was fun. You know, you talk with the boys about ball as a kid. And you listen to some good music. You eat some good food. You get a couple of those. That wasn't very crisp. It's much more crisper when you come with a dap on with a brother. You know what I'm saying? That pop is crisp. There it is right there. Yeah, man. It's pretty cool. Next deal.
Inarguable, if we could put a B-28, please, that the Browns trading for and then paying Deshaun Watson is going to wind up being the worst transaction in the history of football. They gave up 5 draft picks, including 3 first-rounders. They gave him $230 million, all of it guaranteed. His cap hit for the final 2 years of his deal, which, mind you, have not happened yet, is $72 million in each season.
Next, next clip's an extension of this video.
To lower it, they would have to sign him to an extension. If they cut him, his dead cap hit for next year would be $172 million. They couldn't pay Ohio State with what is left over in a salary cap, much less an NFL team, if they were to get rid of Deshaun Watson. So you're asking, why don't they move on from him? It is because they absolutely can't. They need to find a miracle way to make this work because they are stuck.
Damn. So, okay, that was Greeny on Get Up talking about Deshaun Watson's financial situation with the Cleveland Browns. Let me tell you something. In 2019, when I got the chance to be a part of an AFC South organization, I got to watch Deshaun Watson play quarterback for the Houston Texans. Guy was a baller. You can't put it any other way. That team was fucking good. My Colts at the time, we beat them at home in October of 2019, and it was a huge win. A huge win. Any division win is big, but the Texans in 2018-2019 were fucking good, and it was because of Deshaun Watson. It was because of DeAndre Hopkins. It was because of J.J. Watt. A quarterback is only as good as the organization he's with. Remember that. Look at what's going on in Carolina with Bryce Young right now. Bryce Young would be much more highly regarded if he was with a organization that had the right situation and the right coaches around him, the right personnel around him. Bryce Young wouldn't be in the situation that he's in. And his confidence as a quarterback is now destroyed. Okay, there was a reporter that asked Bryce Young, hey, where does your confidence come from? Where does your external confidence come from? He said, I don't have external confidence. And I get what he said. He said, I got internal confidence. My confidence comes from God. But the way he said it was not with much conviction. I digress. Deshaun Watson is not in the mental place to play the best ball that he can play. You got to think about all of the scandals, all of the lawsuits, and how these happenings are bearing within his mind. I've known some folks that have experiences like, you know, not sexual assault, but something that shitty that you did or something shitty that happens to you as a repercussion. And it takes a toll on you mentally. I don't think Deshaun Watson has even close to mentally recovered from all of the scandal that is around him, that has been around him. There's just no way. And it's affecting the way he plays. His confidence gets lower and lower every time the Browns play. I can guarantee you that's where they're at right now. And the Browns organizationally are, you heard it from Greeny, in a terrible spot with him. Because no matter what, you signed him to that $230 million fully guaranteed. He's getting his fucking money, regardless of if he takes a shit on the field, regardless of if he throws 300 incompletions in one game. I watched the film, Browns Commanders, in week five, getting ready for talking about Commanders Ravens this week. And they were just flat. Deshaun's not hitting his throws. He doesn't have the personnel around him to help him out, make some plays in the run game. It's really looking bad in Cleveland. And it blows my mind that the Browns at 1-4 have the same record as the Bengals. And the Bengals are top five in the league in scoring. That's how bad the Cincinnati defense is. A historically good Cincinnati offense. Joe Burrow's number one in touchdown passes in the whole league. He's only got one, maybe two picks after that late pick against Baltimore. Cleveland's in a bad situation. It's a story. It's two different stories with 2-1-4 AFC North teams. Talk about a freezing cold take. I said the AFC North was going to be one of the best divisions in football this year. It's pretty messy in there right now. And Cleveland is definitely the bottom of the barrel because, look, here's the thing. I think the GM that signed him to that contract was John Dorsey. I could be wrong. Whoever signed him to that deal, I guarantee you, isn't a GM in the NFL anymore. That is a job. Signing Deshaun Watson to a $230 million fully guaranteed contract and then seeing the way he's playing in Cleveland right now, that type of move will debilitate any GM's career for eternity. That will be a stain on whoever's resume as long as time is recorded in the end. You get what I'm saying. That's the worst deal in NFL history. So, Greeny said it. The Browns have got to pick it up or else. I mean, there really isn't any other else. They're stuck with it. You know, most of the time in the NFL, it's, all right, you're not doing your job. You're replaceable. Get out. You're done. But this is a situation that's just completely different. I don't think Deshaun Watson has mentally recovered from everything that's going on. And here's the thing. The guy obviously already had issues if he was behaving the way he was with women. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if it was money or the fame, thinking, hey, I'm rich and famous. I can do whatever I want. That kind of attitude can kind of seep into guys sometimes. So there was already maybe something wrong there. And as a quarterback, you got to have the mental resolve to solve problems and lead in your own way, whatever that is. Bobby Petrino talks about how he always needed his quarterbacks to live to their truest self. If you're a vocal leader, be a vocal leader. If you're a quiet, lead by example guy, lead by example, play ball. Every guy is his own guy. Deshaun Watson just doesn't seem to be living in his truest self. Especially not in Cleveland. I've only been to Cleveland a couple times, but it seems depressing. All right, on to the next. This play, man. Insane. Insane. Watch this. Look who he high fives. That's fire. Dude, he high fives the damn ball guy. I swear to God, man. If you're a Bengals fan, you'll resonate with this. Those types of plays, Lamar Jackson stiff arming a guy 60 pounds heavier than him to the ground and then throwing a touchdown as he fades to the sideline and gets popped. Isaiah Likely comes up with it for a touchdown. As a Bengals fan, we are all too familiar with those types of plays happening against us. You know what I'm saying? Nobody else will understand except Bengals fans. Those types of plays always happen against us. Lamar Jackson, great player. Like, not going to discredit him in any way. He fucking balled on Sunday. But, dude, it's like the universe just says, Bengals fans, you know, God says, Bengals fans, y'all are my strongest soldiers, so we're going to put you through the hardest battles. You know what I'm saying? Cincinnati's a hell of a city, and the fans always show up. They always show up. And I think that's to their detriment sometimes because the organization is – go back to the last episode of In the Jar and just watch my whole rant if you want my full thoughts on it. But the front office is just complacent, and they just – that attitude trickles down in an NFL organization, in any sports organization. The attitude of the owner is going to be the attitude of the whole organization. And so I think the reason plays like that always happen to the Bengals is because we're worried that those plays are going to happen to us. And then that reality affirms itself. You know what I'm saying? We're thinking like that whole play. I watched this whole game. That whole play, I remember where I was sitting when I watched that play. And the whole time I'm sitting here thinking, fuck, something shitty's going to happen. Sam Hubbard, get him. Oh, how the hell you get stiff arm? Okay, touchdown. I wasn't a bit surprised. I wasn't the least bit surprised when Isaiah Likely came down with that for a touchdown, even though he had two guys around him. It's just a hell of a football play. You know what I mean?
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
What else? That's all the clips we got for the week. How about that game in Atlanta on Thursday night? Kirko Bangs, 500-plus passing yards. A lot of pain this season for your boy, just with the Bengals being 1-4. But we're going to get into the Commanders, Ravens. We're going to go into the next room, have a little board sesh here. Talk about our thoughts for the game, and go from there. We'll see you in there.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes. I'm talking two teams that are geographically close. One team with high expectations in the Baltimore Ravens coming into the season. Another team with not so high expectations coming into the season. I'm talking the Washington Commanders coming out with a rookie quarterback. With some grit, a little read option offense orchestrated by Cliff Kingsbury. This Commanders team, look, they had their coming out party against my Cincinnati Bengals. But, like I said, in the preseason, we didn't have many folks circling this game on the schedule. But, lo and behold, this could be one of the games of the early season in the NFL. I'm talking Washington Commanders versus the Baltimore Ravens at M&T Bank Stadium. So you're going to have rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels coming into hostile territory, and you're going to have the Ravens fans showing out after a big win. They go into Cincinnati. They crush their AFC North foes' hopes and mine, okay? But this is going to be a real test for not only Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders' offense, but it's going to be a tremendous test versus for the Baltimore Ravens defense against this offense, who is one of the more beautiful offenses in the league to watch. So key points going into this game, okay? Lamar Jackson against the Bengals, 55 rushing yards, 348 passing yards, and 4 touchdown passes. One of those we covered earlier in the show. It was just, you can't draw it up, right? It's an athlete making a play. Okay. So, with that in mind, the Commanders' defense is going to have to figure out how to contain Lamar Jackson.
The Ravens got some momentum going into this game, too. They scored on 5 of 6 drives in the second half on Sunday against the Bengals. Bengals defense is the second worst defense in the league, so I don't really know how much there is to say for that. But nonetheless, they scored on 5 out of 6 drives in the second half. So look for them to come in with some momentum, running a lot of the same things that they were running in the second half against Cincinnati. We'll get into some of the play design here. Lamar is the top player in the league in terms of points per game at 24.9 points responsible for per game. That's a hell of a stat for a quarterback like him. Derrick Henry, the Commanders' defense is going to have to be on the lookout because Derrick Henry is averaging 114.4 rushing yards a game. He's number one in the league at 572 yards. And so what the Ravens like to do is come out in that pistol formation. So you got Lamar in shotgun behind the center here. You got Derrick Henry behind him. And they can do a whole lot of read option stuff like that. Pull, go, whatever the case may be. And they also like to come out in a lot of multiple tight end sets. They've got 3 tight ends that are heavily involved in the offense. You got Isaiah Likely, who's arguably the number one. You got Mark Andrews. And then you got a guy who came out, made a big contribution for Baltimore against the Cincinnati Bengals last week. That's Charlie Kolar, number 88, I believe. Kid's out of Iowa State. Makes jokes about drinking beer. He said in the offseason that he changed his diet. He switched over from Bud Heavy to Bud Light. Good personality. Makes fun of himself for being fat. All that good stuff. He's a good guy. Scored a touchdown against the Bengals in close. So there are a couple of sets you'll see here on the board right here where Baltimore actually comes out in empty. So here's Lamar. They had Derrick Henry actually at a kind of a tight end spot out here in the backfield next to the offensive tackle. They had Likely at the X out here running a quick in. And then they had Ricard, 42. This fullback they got, Ricard, could be a fucking defensive lineman. You know what I'm talking about? This guy is a damn bone crusher. But they had one of these empty sets where they actually put him way out wide at the Y. I don't know if you guys can see that very well. So Zay Flowers, he's going to be their Z. And so he's going to be running a lot of across the field slant routes. He's going to be running a lot of seam routes, a lot of posts, some corners, depending on how they set it up. And then at the F, they had Andrews. So even though the Ravens are a big physical team in terms of the offensive personnel they have, they still come out in packages where they spread it out and still keep that big personnel. You see here, Ricard's running a hitch. Flowers is kind of running a go seam, skinny post down the numbers. And then Andrews is running a quick hitch. That's to the trip side. And then you got Henry here, pretty much at a tight end look, running a quick out, Likely running a quick kind of slant in route. Okay, so Baltimore's creative as hell with their personnel. They're going to try and open it up. It's a modern pro spread offense, but they incorporate a lot of read option here or read option here. Actually, switch my feet if I'm doing that. Bang, bang. That'd be a good giveaway. You can't see my feet, but it's harder for me to run the read option this way. See how I'm going across my body? My left foot is up, right? So that might be a read that the Washington Commanders defense is looking at this week. If the Ravens come out and pistol, they might look at how Lamar's feet are staggered. Because if I have my right foot up, it's almost like when teams would be scouting Tom Brady, they would be able to kind of see what kind of have a glimpse into what he's doing before the snap based on how his feet are. It's the same thing with Baltimore. If Lamar's got his right foot up, I would think if he's in pistol and they got a read option type of look, if Lamar's got his right foot up, right, we're looking at opening here. If Lamar's got his left foot up, we're looking at opening here. And the way that read option play works out of pistol is if I don't give it, I'm getting out to this side. If I don't give it, I'm getting out to this side. So here's the thing. You can look out for Derrick Henry all day. You can look out for Lamar on the ground all day. He's going to get his. Derrick Henry's going to get his. But the difference maker in this game for the Baltimore offense is going to be Mark Andrews. They got to get him involved. He has not done enough this season, and I just think it's because of the scheme of the offense. They've got so many options. That's why it's a bit disappointing that their record's not a little better, but they come off a big division win. So that's kind of the game plan for the Ravens offense is get Andrews involved, keep Charlie Kolar involved. Likely he's going to make him some plays. Henry's going to get his on the ground, and Zay Flowers is a guy who they go to for their big plays. He's a quick guy. They like to get him out in space, maybe a quick screen here and there, but they also really like him on these skinny post routes, on these seam routes, on these deep slant routes to try and see if they can catch the defense slipping. Okay, what else do we got? For the Baltimore defense, okay, here are some of the main things in the game. The Commanders offense loves to take deep shots. They're heavy on the read option. They're going to start the game off in read option, and we've got a couple of their schemes right here that we'll go through in a second. But the Commanders love to take that deep shot down the sideline and try and let Jaden Daniels put it wherever the other guy can't get it. You saw that play late in the game against Cincinnati, Terry McLaurin touchdown, which was the dagger for the Bengals late in the game. They could not get a stop. But you watch the tape on that play. Daniels put that ball where nobody else but Terry McLaurin could get it. It's very unusual for a rookie. This rookie's got poise. He's a gamer. He's able to put the ball in spots that nobody else is able to get it. So they run the deep ball a lot, and they're successful with it, okay? So the Baltimore Ravens have got to stop the deep ball, whether that's rotating the safeties heavier over to an isolated guy, maybe on the weak side they rotate the safety to the weak side, or something of the like, because straight man coverage is probably not going to do it when you're facing Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin, especially when Jaden Daniels is playing the way he's playing. The quarterback's got that type of touch. You know what I'm saying? I mentioned Bobby Petrino earlier in the show. He also mentioned, and the segment we're going to get into later with the pass protection, seven-man pass protection, Petrino talks all about how he likes his quarterbacks to be golfers because it's a you versus you battle. It's a next play kind of thing, and most importantly, it's that touch. So I doubt Jaden Daniels is much of a golfer. He hadn't talked about it before. Maybe he should get into it, but he's got that golf touch, that 150-yard hit the green, bang. Oh, Terry's up there, bang. Drops it right in. So the Baltimore Ravens, they got to stop the deep ball. They are giving up, they're giving up 280.2 passing yards a game. That's the sixth. They're the sixth worst in the league in passing yards per play. They're also giving up about 5.6 yards per play in general, the eighth worst in the league. So Baltimore defense is struggling. They're struggling a little bit. They looked lost against Cincinnati, albeit Joe Burrow was absolutely balling. And the Bengals offense is putting up historic. This has never happened in history with the Bengals offense. See how I keep Aaron towards the Bengals? This has never happened in modern football history. An offense as productive as Cincinnati and the team's 1-4. But I digress. The Ravens are not looking good on defense, especially on their pass defense. So they've got to get that figured out. They got to make Daniels get it out quick. Okay? So they're going to have to find a way to be able to rotate that safety over to the backside where there might be a deep route. Okay? And then blitz 6, 7, maybe 8 guys on a big play. Try to make Jaden Daniels get it out quick. We have seen those looks when Daniels just looks the blitz in the face and still throws a dime. I'm really bullish on the Commanders in this game. I'm really bullish because the Ravens have a first-year defensive coordinator. Their defensive coordinator from last year, McDonald, he's now the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. So they got a first-year guy. He's hungry. He's trying to prove himself, and the stats don't look too good for the Ravens' defense. So he's going to have to get creative this week. I think he's probably staying up at night thinking about Jaden Daniels and the way he's able to drop these beautiful deep balls in there. But also on the ground, the Commanders, they run an offense that is read option heavy. They got a guy in Brian Robinson. I don't know if I made a note about Brian Robinson up here. He scored 2 touchdowns last week against Cleveland. He scored them both in close. The Commanders started the game against the Browns off pretty rocky. First series, they go 3-and-out. Second series, they drive, get in close, and Daniels throws a stupid pick to erase a scoring drive. But he responded, and they came out in the second half and played some good ball. So Daniels was 14 of 25, completion percentage, not where it was, or at least not as good as it's been in the first 4 weeks of the season. 14 for 25, 238 yards, 1 touchdown, and that 1 pick we mentioned. So the guy is human.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
He is human. Nonetheless, the Commanders come out. They get the dub against Cleveland. He threw that interception on the goal line. After that 3-and-out, Dan Quinn, the head coach of the Commanders, said that the first half was an icky, nasty first half for the Commanders. But here's the thing. This rookie didn't let that get to him. He's got that mental resilience. He didn't let that bad first half get to him. He played ball the second half, and they blow a pretty crappy Browns team out of the water. Washington's defense, middle of the pack. They're 13th in the league, allowing about 198 passing yards a game. They're playing all right. They entered week 5 last in opponent third down conversions, meaning they were the worst in the league on defense, allowing the offense to convert on third down. On Sunday, week 5 against the Browns, they held them to 1 for 13. And the only conversion the Browns got was in the final minute, garbage time. So basically, on third down against Cleveland, the struggling Cleveland team, the Commanders were able to keep them completely off the field, especially in regards to converting third downs. They had 7 sacks, so their pass rush Washington's pass rush has been struggling early in the season, but they finally found a way to get home against Cleveland. And one of the guys who really played ball was their linebacker, Frankie Louvu. He had 2.5 sacks. Can't remember how many tackles he had in the game, but he made a couple of really big plays that they were looking for in a kind of a knockdown, drag-out game against Cleveland. The scoreboard didn't affect that, or the scoreboard didn't reflect that. It was a knockdown, drag-out, but it was, and the defense came up with key plays where they needed it. Their two linebackers, they like to operate out of a 4-2-5 look, four down linemen, two linebackers, five defensive backs. Their two linebackers are Bobby Wagner and Louvu. And Wagner's kind of that veteran presence, right? He's kind of that stoic, keeps to himself, get in, do what he's supposed to do type of linebacker. And then Louvu, after the game, tells the reporters he's going to tackle a bottle of tequila that night. So he's kind of the wild man jumping in there, fucking ramming some offensive lineman's chin into the back of his sternum, you know, that type of guy. But he has 2.5 sacks. They got to keep Louvu going, okay? And Wagner's presence next to him is only going to make Louvu better. These two guys' personalities seem to complement themselves on this Washington Commanders defense. So look for those guys to be getting in the trenches, making plays, tackling Derrick Henry at the line of scrimmage. So in the kicking game, the kicker for the Commanders is a guy named Austin Seibert. Played his college ball at Oklahoma. He's 12 for 12 on the year. Hasn't missed a field goal yet, albeit they haven't sent him out there for field goals of 50-plus yards yet. The Commanders look like they are a team that goes for it when they're in that gray area of should I punt it, should I kick it. They like to go for it, and normally they convert, at least what I saw in the game against Cincinnati and Cleveland. They convert. So if they get in close, they should be able to bang it home as this kicker's playing pretty good football. Justin Tucker, on the other hand, one of the greatest kickers in the history of the game, is not kicking how you would expect him to. Father Time could be catching up to him, but he came up clutch in big moments against Cincinnati, albeit that field goal to win the game in overtime. But Tucker's 7 for 10 on the year. He's missed a couple. And from 50 to 59 yards, he's 1 for 3. So two of his misses have come from long field goals that they're expecting him to hit, and he doesn't hit them. So I think he got back on the right track in Cincinnati. Regardless of what he does for the rest of his career, he'll go down as one of the greatest kickers of all time. And I think the Ravens are going to need him as the season progresses. Obviously, they'll need him in big moments. And I think in those big moments down the stretch, you will see Justin Tucker come through. This game's a big moment. This game's a big moment. So that's kind of the scoop of things. Trying to think anything else we covered. This is one of Washington's defensive looks here. Like I said, they got the 4-2-5. This is just the box view. I call it inside drill. And I actually need to erase that here. I call this inside drill. So we got four down linemen, got the nose shading the center, inside, outside shading the center, inside shading the guard. You got the Sam over the tackle. You got the end out there on the edge over the Y. The tackle's going to inside shade the guard. The mic's right over top of it, and the end's right there. So that's kind of their base look. That was their base look against Cleveland to start the game, is that 4-2-5 defense right there. Here's another look that the Commanders gave the Browns, where they walked the Mike and the Will up into both A gaps. And the Cleveland offensive line had to adjust and just block down all the way. They got this Y pulling over to cover the end right there. But they do a lot of they motion a guy across, and then you got that three-man look You got Robinson back behind, and they like to motion. They like to motion that a lot. Here's the Commanders. I just went straight from the Commanders' defense talking about their offense. Here's the command. These are two defensive looks for the Commanders, right? That base 4-2-5. And then this is a double mug look that the Commanders threw out there. And that's kind of the deal. They did what they're supposed to do against Cleveland, the Commanders' defense. On offense, like I mentioned, I got ahead of myself. Okay. They like to come out in a pistol look, right? So you got Daniels here, Robinson here. You're going to motion that Z across to give yourself the option right here. Bang. I could jet sweep. I could pull. I could hand it off. And I could pull again. And they really, really gashed the Bengals with this read option. Big plays, it seemed, every third or fourth down and short. All right, I'm just here. Bang, hey, bang, get out. And it works with Daniels. The guy's proficient as hell on his feet. Look, you're going to have two quarterbacks in this Baltimore-Washington game that are bona fide MVP candidates. Okay, and the reason Daniels is an MVP candidate thus far is not only his statistics, but the fact that he's in an offense that complements him with a guy in Cliff Kingsbury who's a wicked smart offensive coordinator. The playbook completely reflects everything Jaden Daniels can do well. And I'm sure in camp this season, before the year started, that Jaden Daniels laid up a couple of those deep balls and Cliff was like, oh, shit, we fucking got something. So anyway, the Commanders like to pull heavily on these read option looks. So there's one look here where you see the center. He's got an outside. He's got a guy shading to his left, and then the guard's got a guy shading to his right. They both just pull out of there. The guard goes and blocks the Sam. The center actually goes and seals off the defensive end. Guard's going to climb up to the weak side linebacker, and then the tackles actually, the left side tackles actually going to block down the weak side tackle. That Z will come across, motion across, probably chip that edge player, and then you've just got a simple, you can run so many looks out of this because you could do a straightaway run. You could do a jet sweep, touch pass with the Z motion and across like that. You could do a designed pull, or you can incorporate all three. There's so many wrinkles on this offense. I think that's what makes it so conducive for Jaden Daniels' abilities. Okay, so that's the game plan. I think the biggest liability in this game is going to be the Ravens' defense against this Commanders' offense. But also, the Commanders' defense is going to have their hands full containing the Ravens' offense. I think that I'm hesitant to make a prediction here. It's going to be an offensive battle. And I just think Jaden Daniels' ability to throw the deep ball, the nuances in the playbooks to get him involved in the read option, get Brian Robinson involved. Brian Robinson's a huge piece on this Commanders offense that I don't think gets enough credit. When they're in close, they're here straight away, 4 yards from the end zone. You got that with Brian Robinson all day. Guy's a wrecking ball, survived getting shot, comes out to many men. Wish death upon me. Blood in my dog and I can't see. I got Commanders. I think Commanders go in there. They shock the Baltimore Ravens. That's my pick for the week. I'm a defensive guy. But one thing that gets me fired up, watching a defense dial up a blitz and the offense picks it up perfectly. It's all about communication. It's all about making checks. And it's all about coming out in the right personnel. So a package we're going to talk about today, the look of the day, is going to be 360 protection. This is a seven-man blitz pickup. Two back set. You can either have an I formation or you can operate out of the gun with a back on either side of you. The three and 360 stands for a three-step drop. So we might look at this another day, but 60 is a five-step drop. Let's say you want to do deep 60. That's a seven-step drop. Pretty ballsy against a seven, eight-man blitz. Okay, so the basis of this protection is which side are my backs blocking to? Okay, you're going to have a strong back. You're going to have a weak back. The offensive linemen are going to be expected to communicate with the backs. Let's say the tackle's set up and he's back here to his back. He might make a call. He might make a squeeze call. Let's say he's got an outside. We're talking about the strong tackle here. Let's say the strong tackle has got a outside shade defensive end, and he's got to wall him off. So he's got to slide. He's going to make a squeeze call to his back on his side, and that back is now going to ride that tackle's hip to pick up that Sam. Basically, the two backs, they got to decide which one's strong, which one's weak. So let's say I'm the strong back and we're in an I formation and I see the Sam over here. I'm going to tell my back behind me, hey, I'm blocking over here, which means the back to the back of me is going to go the opposite side. Now, the rule for the backs in this protection is they are blocking one to two linebackers outside. Whatever is farthest outside, they're going to pick it up. So let's say a corner comes in on the edge and decides he's going to blitz off the edge. This weak side back is now going to pick up that corner, and the offensive line will have to slide accordingly. On the other side, it's the same deal. It's all about communication. There's a number of calls. If the Y is uncovered, he's going to free release. But he might also get a max call from the quarterback, which means, hey, you got to stay in. You got to block the Sam or the defensive end. This is a really effective way to pick up a seven-man blitz, especially if you like two-back personnel. You think about different teams in the NFL that have a number of backs available to them that could make contributions. One thing that's highly underrated in today's pro game is a back's ability to pick up a block, pick up a stunt, and do so aggressively. Just get back and bang! Bang! Gets me fired up. You know what I'm saying? So here's the thing. With the Ravens-Commanders game this weekend, I would expect Baltimore to come out with a lot of exotic blitz packages to try to get Daniels rattled. They got Robinson, and then they got Eckler. They're a perfect example of a good two-back offense, right? So Eckler and Robinson are going to have to say, look, man, we're going to talk. We're going to communicate this week. And when somebody tries to roll down on us, we go, get in those fucking chops, man. You know what I'm saying? Get them fired up a little bit. Because that's going to be important. If the Commanders can pick up the Ravens blitz packages, you're going to be having a hard time if you're Baltimore. And that's why I got Washington in this game. So this is an example of 360 protection, three-step drop, seven-man protection, two-back set. And the backs just got to communicate. They got to communicate with the offensive line. They got to communicate with each other. They got to communicate with their quarterback, because they've got in this protection, the backs have got about five different possibilities of things they could do. One of them is run a three-yard checkdown. Most of the time, it's going to be one to two linebackers to anything outside. It just depends. But this is a really effective way to pick up a seven-man blitz.
All right, boys and girls, that's it for this week's episode of In the Jar. Let us know what you thought about the new rendition, the new format here. Like, comment, and subscribe to become one of Dupe's dogs and follow along.